So welcome everybody to the first ever virtual share fair. We've done this a couple of times. Started out as kind of a back of a napkin idea that Aaron and I had back in, is that Madison? When was that? No, not Madison. That's when we first had our, that's when we had our first one, right? Was it yeah. Madison? And so we, extension is near and dear to us, and I know it is to me. So I'm Brian McCornack. I'm a professor and department head for entomology at Kansas State University. And I actually have a three-way split. So mostly my program is research. So about 70% of that is on field crops, integrated pest management, robots, all kinds of cool things, at least I think I get inspired by. But then the other part of my appointment, 20% of it is extension in mobile technology and digital delivery. And then the rest of it is teaching. So at the end of the day, it's all that kind of blends together anyway. And it's really kind of hard to differentiate those some days. But the extension piece to me is really a valuable and critical piece to my research, especially trying to get content into the hands of growers to make those types of decisions. And digital delivery and mobile tech has really changed. Like it just keeps changing and getting more accessible and better and sometimes cheaper and at the same time, quite overwhelming, at least I think. And I am not a self-proclaimed expert in the title that we have today, which is simple solutions for creating and marketing, quick to market videos using your mobile device. I'm simply an extension professional that has tried a bunch of things, and I'm just sharing you some of my tips and tricks to do some, simple, quick to market. And what that means is, short videos, maybe 15, 20 seconds, how do you make them interesting and engaging, especially if those point to much larger clips that might be 20 minutes or 30 minutes. I use this a lot for teaching, and I'll be kind of showing you what this share fair is about, but some reminders just so you're all aware that this session is being recorded. And primary reason for that is you've heard from others that they want to be able to share what we create during these sessions with their own extension professionals. And we'll make those accessible. But to me, the value of being registered for this particular meeting is that, you can kind of help decide where the next hour goes. So your questions, your engagement, the share fair, I'll talk about a little bit what that really is, what the platform was before and kind of how we're thinking about it this time around. So our goal is to really make this, again, accessible beyond just this hour that we got. And so this is shared and it's probably best, at least the way I'm presenting it, is that you'll notice I'm not sharing my screen to show you a PowerPoint. I'm actually using two different, I'm using OBS, which is Open Broadcast System. Which is a free app. I'll be talking about that on the Friday session. So I'll conclude the share fair. Aaron put a link, I think, to the packet that we've got that has all of what we're doing over the next 3 days. We've got a really great lineup. So I really encourage you to check that out as much as you possibly can. 7 sessions, an hour each. Awesome specialists from across the country that are putting on some really cool content. So I encourage you to check that out. Probably the best way to view this is to put it in presenter view. So again, you might want to go up to the corner and kind of tweak with this a bit. So I've got my screen here, which is me.
Hi.
And then I also have the other one that looks like me, and it is me, but it's really my phone. And so, if I turn that on, you get to see my, hey, that's me and that's me. So I'm in two different places. I'm going to try to use my phone here to actually show you. So again, the share fair is really, if we were doing this in person, so presenter view, again, just probably for your best experience, and then chat. I told you I'm not the expert, right? I'm not a self-proclaimed expert. What I'm doing is kind of sharing a lot of things that I do. And what I'm going to miss most about kind of how we've done this in the past is that we've just had all these tables set up in a really great, with a really great venue, and people that are coming and going at their own leisure, spending as little as much time as they want to, talking with all these great presenters at one time. In the past, Aaron and I weren't able to really, and others weren't able to participate in other sessions. We're kind of looking forward to this virtual session, which is very focused. But we kind of want to have a similar feel, which is interrupt. Like if you're having a conversation and wanting to ask me some questions, what we don't know is like this, we have a lot of people at our table right now. So that's great. And so if you have some things that you want to ask, but don't want to interrupt, throw those in the chat. And then Aaron is going to help me. Aaron up here, you can see the other fellow nerds, right, with a little QR code. Aaron is going to be helping me moderate some of those questions. Also, again, if you'd rather just ask your question, that is fine too. So this is, again, the idea is that if we're sitting around a table and I'm showing you how to use my phone and the app that I'm doing and types of videos that I create, I'm trying to recreate that experience online, but also those interactions. So really, you chatting and participating, or just, you know, hanging out and listening, all that works too. What I don't want you to think though, that this whole next hour is just me with a very structured PowerPoint of this is what you're going to do and this is what we're going to talk about. I have some general ideas of what we're going to cover. Really, that's what this share fair is. It's probably similar to what a workshop is. In a virtual space, that's probably what more of it is kind of a workshop, but I want this to be as engaging as it can. And this is kind of how we set up the rest of the talks to see the nerd. That's me. And then go be the nerd, which is, hey, I'm going to take some of these things over the next maybe 30 minutes or 45 minutes and actually try it myself and maybe come back and ask some specific questions. This is learning by doing. So seeing what I have to show you, and hopefully that gets your brain to be thinking about some things that you want to try. And maybe you're actually downloading an app, splicing some videos, adding some text, adding some things to it, maybe getting stuck, trying some stuff out. So that's really how I've structured this. So I'm gonna spend a little bit of time talking about the capture part, because I think that's really, really critical. Getting some really good footage. When it comes time to the editing part, it's really hard just to create stuff from thin air. So in that moment, trying to get as much as you possibly can. And I'm going to see how this works. But I'm going to take my phone on a little tour, because I do have a contest for all of you if you're willing to. So we're going to do a little bit on capture. I'm going to spend a good chunk of time on the create part. A rebel is really more about understanding that there's a why in some of this. And I realize this is going to show it backwards, but this is Marketing Rebellion. Mark Schaefer, we had our first ever virtual conference across three states because of the pandemic. So we had South Dakota, North Dakota, and Kansas State did our annual extension conference here a couple weeks ago, and allowed us to bring in a really great speaker. But the take home message was that, you know, your brand isn't what you think it is. It's what your people make it. This is that time to kind of create yourself. You're representing your university. You do have to create a brand. People want to know who you are. And so finding kind of really simple ways to get video out there is one way. Text is also another way. But today we're focusing primarily on like this quick to market video, because at the same time, as much as you want to start branding and getting people to know you, you can spend a lot of time. It's been so much time putting video together. I'll show you a couple of examples that are not so quick, just to give you an idea of like, what's kind of setting some realistic expectations, at least in my opinion. So that's an interesting take on that. It's a really good read if you're kind of thinking about how to best, like what marketing is, and that's really changed. It's no longer an institution. People don't trust institutions, they trust other people. And so if you are yourself and you can put yourself out there and you're representing your institution, that is the brand that people will connect to. And again, these quick to markets, letting people get to know who you are is really a great way to do that. And that's about all I'm going to spend on that piece. It's just, I want to spend a lot on the capture and create. So the video contest, if you're up for it, you'll have 1 week between now and next Wednesday. And we're going to use Twitter to push a lot of this out as much as we can. So it's the one most likes and most retweets. So again, this is getting you to use your social networks. The most impressions, so the number of people that actually see it, and then, you know, making sure that it's tagged with ESA ShareFair, and NSOC 20 is optional, but this is the main one because we're trying to keep all of the cool created things that you do over the next week together, and that's one way we're going to do it. And yes, there's a prize. So if you're going to have a contest, you might as well have a prize. And so the prize is t-shirt. So again, we'll decide that based on all those points put together. And if we have a tie, we'll use the committee of the nerds to have a tiebreaker. Theme, capture your conference venue, right? So everybody is in their own place doing this online meeting. And that's what I miss most about where these meetings are, is you get to kind of explore the venue. But maybe we bring our venues to the people. Again, this is kind of going back to that rebel idea. Where's that rebellion coming from? Just letting people know who you are. You don't have to show them everything, of course. But if you at least kind of make this interesting, and, you know, again, I'm going to take my phone and kind of show you some things that I would capture. I'm not going to necessarily be able to do that because it's not going to let me do a Zoom share and record at the same time. Showing you the power perspective, I'm going to try to use my phone to do that. And my kids are waking up, so you might have some other background information, background noise too. And we're just going to see how this works, okay? The very thing is, I want you to have the tag at the end, which is, hello, my name is Brian, and this is how I ESA. So this is like, you know, something that kind of connects these videos together, that people know that, again, you don't have to say a lot of words. You don't, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, but at least you feel comfortable saying who you are and this is how I ESA. I think kind of a creative way, I hope, for you to kind of explore some of these tools, figure out like how you're going to do that in this next week. Try it. Have you always been wanting to try it, but just haven't? You know, I'm going to show you a couple of apps that I use that are paid. There are others that are free. I could spend a whole week on all the different apps and showing you how to use them. But there's some very similar things between all the apps, and a lot of it's going to come back to how what content you have to be able to put into them. So really, the video contest, this is my way of like giving you some incentive to go try it, but also from an extension piece, really, you know, pushing our content out there and trying to find a creative way to do that. There's an incentive. Aaron will talk about the incentives for filling out the evaluation. So you saw that little QR code. I'm going to have her kind of sprinkle that in if I'm messing with my phone and trying to get some stuff. But remember, there's an evaluation piece to this to help us make this be a better program in the future. Again, there's also swag associated with that. So that's the video. That's the basic setup. And that's really, I think, all I have for my, yeah, that's all I have for my PowerPoint. So this is really going to be more about, let's just do, and I'm going to start with content creation just to get things started. A lot of people ask me about some equipment. Again, this is all being shot from my iPhone. And I'd say the biggest thing that I use, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I use. I mean, it is, this is a nice clean screen, and then all this other stuff I'm not going to show you, but you get an idea. Like, I've got a tripod for almost any occasion, but I tell you, the one that I use the most is this Manfrotto. I don't know if that's how you say it. This one here, only because it really allows me to move this head in any direction and lock it. And then I've got a clip up here that really allows me to put this almost any position, any location. This gets pretty close to the ground too. The other thing is that once you put the phone on the tripod, you know, like I said, move this almost anywhere I want, set it, and then go do my different shots. What I thought I'd do is just, I'm trying to show you parts of my venue. I'm not going to hit my record button, but again, just getting you to think about, if I'm going to put a video like this together, one way I can start is just by, okay, I'm just sitting here, but that's not how I get into this space, right? So if I'm going to move around, so we're going to see how this works. All right. Sometimes you just got to move around, change your angles, look at your perspective as a way to tell your story. So, hi, I could just stand here, walk into the door. Try not to make eye contact with the camera. Or I come up here and stop, open, change perspective. Oh, gotta get rid of the shadow. Change perspective, walk in the door. I can also set up here, change it. Walk to my office. Move the tripod, change the angle, Walk into the camera, but don't hit it. So, a lot of things you can do to play around with perspective. That was the full version. Here's the final edit. Thinking, there is no way I'll have time to do all that. And you're probably right. But I spend time doing that because it's a way for me to have a creative outlet that is not putting together a figure, putting together a paper, a PowerPoint presentation. It really just allows me to kind of just express myself. So is this going to be that same thing for you? Maybe. Not sure yet. That's okay. The whole point of this is just to show you, though, that adding a little bit of element of perspective really does give the viewer something to look at. That's not just for video, that's for PowerPoint, that's for any time that you have a chance to tell your science, tell your story. So what I encourage you to do, even if it's just walking through a door, pretty simple thing to record, but if you play around with it, low risk, try out the app, get a little bit better at it, more proficient, I think you'll be really surprised on how easy it is to do some of these cool tricks, and I find it fun. So if you find a way to keep it fun for yourself and also exploring your capacity to build these types of maybe more engaging content or simply just a way for you to express yourself, I still encourage you to give it a go. To where I sit, I might set it, come in here, I might have this screen, and I might say, hey, my name is Brian McCormack, and this is how I ESA. Look at that. I have no idea if any of that worked. You can't hear me when I walk away from the computer. So did you see it, though? Did you see all the different angles? And so here's the deal, right? So maybe you didn't hear me, but that's fine. But to make this interesting, you have to take your camera. Again, and think about putting it to different places, different positions, so that way you have some things to kind of tie together when you start to edit these things. That's the part where you're going to wish you spent a little bit more time if there was something interesting that was happening. You can do this with, if you find a cool bug on the ground, like, hey, I want to show that. You could just zoom in right away and show it, or you can show your response to finding that bug and start to stitch some things together and tell these micro stories. Again, this is really a practice. You have to practice before it becomes a habit. Honestly, the pandemic did that for me when I taught insect pest diagnosis this fall, because I wanted to have a good chunk of this to be online and accessible and interesting, just because I didn't want them to be, here's a PowerPoint, here's me talking, putting myself in their shoes to see this from an interesting perspective. And a lot of that is you just have to make it very, very dynamic, but it doesn't take much. So again, just entering into my house, I could just simply show me walking in the door. But if I show me walking in the door from the front view, from the back, from the side, from the top angle, coming down, maybe getting the zoom of the door handle, all those things that I showed you, but you just couldn't hear me say that. You could see that if I had all that now to then put into, so let's like maybe took what, a minute, 2 minutes? That ends up being about 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And so that's the other thing too, is you end up getting so much data with when you do this well, but the end result is really not that much. So you try to take a lot, condense it down, but I tell you what, it's so much easier to throw away footage than it is to recreate it in times where you can't. So that's one of the biggest take homes from the create content. Really, if there are any questions on that, there's really a lot of great, lot of great YouTube videos out there. If you just do some searching on composition, it's just, and a lot of it's practice. And so as you start to, as you start to put videos together, all those times where you say to yourself, I wish I had this angle, those are things that I'd start making notes on. So as you know that you're going to do some shoots, and some of this stuff just happens. Like you just, oh, I want to capture that. Capture it, put it together. I'll show you some editing apps here that work, I think work really well. But if you want to start telling some stories, then again, it's really great to come from multiple perspectives. So that's the part about content. Any questions on that piece, or suggestions, or resources that people have used that found the interesting, exciting? You can also throw those into the chat if you start to stumble across some to say, oh, that was really good. If you look at the conference page for this particular talk, I think I put some links in there about some really simple things. So there are ways to share your screen to do these types of recordings. If you're not familiar, there is a share broadcast on your phone for smartphone, or at least for iOS users. And now you should be seeing my screen. There's a lot of apps that you could use, and we can explore that a little bit here. But I'm just going to kind of show you what I use, and probably some of the features that are, I would venture to bet that most of them are going to be similar across whatever app you use. But the one that I kind of fell in love with over the summer was Video Leap. So it's this one here. And so this is, part of the video that I put together just to promote this particular workshop or this share fair. But it really is quite simple to use. I started using LumaFusion on my iPad Pro, and I used that for probably the first part of the summer. And then I didn't have my iPad with me wherever I went. So I'm sitting there, maybe wanting to pick up the kids. Sorry, somebody's not following me. Hey, cool. I thought I turned off notifications, but I guess I did. So part of that is, finding the time to do this can be a real challenge, especially when you look at the amount of effort that it takes to maybe put together, like a, well, in this case, maybe a 10-second video. For example, if you haven't seen my ready up soybean person jumping out of a tube. So I'm just going to play this quick, and I apologize. Sometimes the sound comes across really loud, but here's an example where I used this particular app . So that's it, not even 5 seconds, right? So I'm curious, how long do you think that took me to make? She's close. Gwen is close. It probably took Gwen is close. It probably took me 10 hours. Probably took me 10 hours to do this 5-second video. And here's why. And you're going, I thought this was quick to market. When I say quick to market is, hey, something happened, I just want to get it out there and go. And these types of apps allow you to do that pretty readily. Where you say, hey, I actually want to add a video, and I want to add this 15-second clip, add this in here, and now it changed all my settings for this app. But then I can go in and start to edit it, hit export, and then add it to Twitter. And for some things that are very quick, I can do that within maybe 10 minutes. Again, just because I've had enough time to practice. So early on, it's going to take you much less time, but as you get more proficient, muscle. But here's the deal: as you become more proficient, you become more creative. As you become more creative, it's going to take more time. I'm not saying that this is creative. I'm just telling you that I like doing these things. I enjoy putting these videos together. So this is, to me, like relaxing. This is a time for me to kind of unplug all my other stuff and just sit here and create, because I feel like if I create at least something yet by the end of the day, I feel like it was a worthwhile day. And to me, a 4 to 5 second video taking several hours to do, maybe that's not everybody's idea of a good time, but for me, it allowed me to kind of explore some of these features. So for example, to make this work, I had to tell the grower that I was jumping off the back end of my truck, and I've got this tripod sitting in the soybean field, and me jumping high enough so that I land on the ground. And then when I do that, you can see the background, you can see the leaves moving, you can see me falling from somewhere, right? Well, that tube is kind of covering where I'm starting, which is on the top of the tailgate. You see where I would be standing, and I'm jumping down, landing, and then I've got dust coming up. But what's happening here, though, is this is a mask. And so with that masking tool, it's giving me a way to see that line, that orange line that comes in at the very top. It starts to shrink where my start of that video is and where I end up. So I actually overlay this video on top of an existing video, which is me not even in the scene. It's just me in the field. Hey, it's on a tripod. It's very steady. Just getting all those soybeans to sit there. And then I'm thinking, oh, if I overlay myself to do this jump from the sky into the ground, then when I overlay that, and you can see at the very end, what happens to the soybean, right? It stops moving. So those are little things that I pick up that maybe others won't pick up, but I know that that's because I used the still shot for that very last part to kind of clean all these pieces up. So this is one of those things where I didn't start here with a 5-second video that took me 10 hours. I start, you know, to me, it's all about starting small, growing tall, figuring out like how to get into this idea of editing. And then the more you play, the more you go, oh, if I didn't know there's a flare thing. And so that flare allows me to add a light, see how that light is moving and following my net. And then I've got points in which I can add, you know, here, if I add one more, I can make that light go all over. And so all of a sudden that light point goes somewhere else. So it's just one of those things where, oh, here's a feature. I wonder what I can do with it. And then as you start to know more about the features, you then start thinking more about, oh, that's what I need. That's the content that I need in order to make those features work. And I think what, at least for me initially, it was like, oh, there's so many things that I can do. I don't know where to start. And so for me, starting with really simple videos of, well, let's just do that. Let's just go to one that I'm working on, which is a sequel. Again, this is me. The reason why I'm holding my hands out there is because I'm trying to give a first person view of a video game for IPM. And this is where you've already selected your sampler. You jumped into the soybean field, but now you're kind of going through to then do your sampling, right? So I'm kind of doing this very animated. I'm actually wanting to turn this into some type of animation. Again, that's how I'm thinking about these things. As you're shooting, knowing more about the tools that you're going to use and what you're able to do in those, and then translate that into how do I make that happen within my app. That comes through just honestly trial and error and some practice and maybe some Google searches to say, how do I do this thing? But for me, a lot of it has been, you know, understanding that, hey, this sequence is maybe too long. Maybe what I want to do is, because it's not that interesting, is speed it up. And so that's what I did in this case, where now it's 7 seconds. But originally, if I jump that back down, it's, you know, closer to 20 seconds. So somebody having to look at a clip for a lot longer than they need to, all of a sudden creates a lot more disinterest in following the rest of your video. So this is where you kind of have to be yourself, find your expression point. But at the same time, you know, if you have an audience that you're catering to and they find those things interesting, you're going to kind of know more of that once you start getting data in, which is views, interactions, engagements, shares. Like, is this content resonating with anybody else besides me? Quite honestly, like this whole IPM sampler thing, I just did it for fun, but I was really surprised by the number of people that are like, oh, that's new. Yeah, that's cool, or that's a really interesting way of looking at, you know, how we think sampling. Would you be more, you know, would you take more risks if it really was like a game format? Would you? And that was my original idea. And to me, it's like, oh, people are interested in that. So I'll just kind of keep going down this rabbit hole. And right now, this next kind of sequel video that has a lot of missing pieces to it, like this is just the raw footage, right? I'm kind of giving you behind the scenes, but you know, this is me after I get that done, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to sit there. And again, I'm kind of this avatar that's kind of waiting to do the next step. And to me, it's pulling, you know, stuff out of my sweep net. So you don't see me pulling anything out of my sweep net, right? But in my mind, I know that when I created this content, I'm going to be inserting something here that might be, what did I magically pull out of my sweep net? Right. So if I'm sitting here and this is in my sweep net, what I want to do is, oh, I want to move that over so that this sequence goes at the same time. So I need that to be hidden. And so if I, in my sweep net, it's going to be coming out of my sweep net. And so what I want to do is maybe add a couple of marks. So that way my start is here. And I don't usually do these things in real time, but this is the part of the maker's fair, the share fair idea, which is, here's kind of what I do. Here's how I use it. Here's how I think about it. But as I reach into my net, I'm going to stop there, add another point, and maybe move that. I'm going to move here, add another point, Maybe move that. So now, see how that might be inside my net and then coming out. So now I'm using, right, the feature of just adding a tag and then moving that video across the screen. You might not need that for some of your quick to market videos. Like, you just need it to be able to float. Like right here is where it pauses, right? Pauses, and I just want to have, in this case, I might hit this and I might go and duplicate it. And I might drag this over right to wherever it's stopping in space and time. Oh, I realize I don't need that because that's already paused there. So I'll just delete it. And maybe what I just need to do is extend that out a little bit more so that it matches that segment. So I'm just out here holding my card. So I might then pull out insects that have certain number of points. And so if I want to talk about biological control, I might pull out this big lady beetle, obnoxious lady beetle, that's basically a cartoon that then has points around it to say, oh, yeah, you might be looking for pests, but if you pull out this one, this adds to it. Or if I pull out a big caterpillar, all of a sudden that's less. So as I start to like gamify this experience, my mind is going, how do I use these tools to be able to create those types of interactions? So this video, I mean, I just started this one yesterday, and this will easily take me several hours to kind of to do well. At the end of the day, though, this won't be more than, my hope is like 30 seconds, because really that's all people will give me. When you look at this kind of content, they're not going to give you more than maybe 15, 20 seconds for it to be really interesting. But if you then said, hey, this now supports this other bigger thing that I'm doing that relates to this concept, go check that out. Then people are more willing to do that. So that's the difference between the other one is not necessarily quick to market. So there's, you know, quick to get it out there, but then quick consumption as well, so that people want to be able to take it in short bits and be interested enough to then engage and click and follow and do that next step of taking more time to engage with your work. And, you know, this is...
Questions. Can I interrupt?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Please.
Gwen had a question about, you know, many of us are using our own personal smartphones to create videos and interact on social media. How do you reconcile the need to be connected with potential loss of privacy and subsidizing these applications?
That's a great question. I realize it's going to depend on what your budget is, right? But this is how I do that. One's personal and one is work. To me, it's one of those where this is a tool that I use for my work. Anything on here is fair game. So just the apps that I use are work accounts. All that is public. So I really try to physically separate the two. I realize from a budgetary standpoint, that's not feasible either. And then that might not be a really great answer, but it is something you do need to keep in mind. Another way to do that is just to get a different device completely. And so, getting an iPad or some type of tablet to work off of, which you can completely designate as work. So that way, if anything, we're like that, we're more private, really do keep them separated. So I think the way to do that is through the tech, is to have completely separate devices. In my opinion, that's what I've tried to do, is keep those separate. So I'm not sure if that answers your question or not. You can feel free to unmute, Gwen, if you wanted to expand on that.
What, just to refresh, the application that you're showing us right now is called Video Leap.
Video Leap, yep.
Yeah. But you're running it, you're doing all the editing and all that on your phone. Would you be able to use it on a laptop or desktop to do some of the editing?
With the Video Leap, I'm not exactly sure if that particular app is, but for laptop, I try to keep most of this conversation to mobile, because to me it was, I'm in the field, I saw something and I want to get it out there. And I don't want to then have to transfer those files that I have on my phone to a different computer or to a shared drive and then be able to get that and pull that off into my laptop and then edit it and then put it out there. I think for me, the hurdle is, if I have, just saying that already bored me. There's so many steps between what I capture and what I get it out there. I'm trying to use apps that don't prevent me from just even getting started. That's why I suggest having at least a really simple editor, even if it's free. There's a lot of great free ones out there, and I found a couple of lists with just a Google search of the top Android or iOS or your favorite device platform here for that whatever year. You're going to find a pretty good starting point for apps. It's really going to come down to what's your style. And I can't answer that for you. I can't answer that for you. So you're going to have to see like, oh, this app has the cool things that I want. And this becomes you. That becomes your personality. And that is, I think, the part where, you know, this marketing rebellion idea of people getting to know more of you and being, you being okay with like your expression of that video and those, that music and whatever, versus, yeah, there's very, I'd say most institutions have a very standard way of presenting that type of content, which is really more static, which is, here it is, and here's this angle. And it really, you know, how do you create those things in your own social media? I think you have a little bit more flexibility to do that, to create more of who you are. And the apps can reflect that. And they go from the video leap is not free. And so I pay for that out of my extension funds, but I also feel like that's worth my investment. I mean, the amount of content that I create, because it makes it easy for me to do that. And it gives me all the features that I want. And I'm sitting there, you know, like waiting to pick up my kids at school, and I've got 15, 20 minutes. Like I can just sit there and go, yep, I can create a couple of little apps quick to market that are ready to go, and I can export them and then do what I want with them later, or add them to Dropbox and do that from my desktop. Like it's that type of like workflow. I think you just need to find things that are really good for you. At least that's been my experience with it. So the apps, there's some freeware too that, DaVinci Resolve is a really, like, if you don't have funds to go into Adobe type products, which again, they have got mobile apps. So if you got those types of subscriptions, that's great. What I'm actually using here for my backdrop, in case you missed it, is OBS, Open Broadcast System. It's also freeware, just projecting my PowerPoint on a green screen. It's all behind me. That's just sitting in there reminding you that there's a video contest. Wink, wink. That's due on Wednesday. If you want to know, here's, you know, again, this is how I ESA. So how do I start to bring some of these concepts in? And yeah, there's on Friday when I'm going to talk more about kind of the desktop and some of the stuff that I do there, especially with the green screen and OBS. So if you have those types of questions, I highly recommend checking out that session on Friday. So I will kind of cover more of the desktop version type things in which you could do. Again, mostly focusing on the green screen. So I've got a green screen, some pretty decent lighting. Again, all those things matter to make the green screen work. I'm really not happy with my Surface camera because some of that, it changes the lighting, and I'm not okay with that. So if you want to spend a lot more money to get a standalone camera, those are things you can think about doing. But I try to keep this as accessible for me as I can because I don't have a huge extension budget to begin with. I'm fortunate that I do get some stipend to have a phone, because that's how people need to get a hold of me. So I try to keep, like I said, keep those two separate. Yeah, the TikTok thing, I agree. I'm not on TikTok either. I need to learn how to, I mean, that's the thing though, is that that's where a lot of people are, and that's where we can't necessarily be. And there's a disconnect there. So to me, it's, we can be where we can be, and we just need to be there as much as we can to try to create our brand, so to speak. So good questions on that. That's the real basics of this app. Like I said, you know, some of these, if you just look at, yeah, that one is not so bad as far as the number of edits go. But, you know, for something like the soybean, you know, avatar, you know, I created an avatar for some reason. I haven't looked at this in a month or so. And it just redid some of my GIFs, and I don't know why I did that. But anyway, like there's a lot of cuts. Like there's a lot of like little small clips. So this idea of having one really long clip really just depends on your needs. And so this was something that I was asked to do, part of a K-State campaign of, you know, why you teach at K-State, kind of tell us some of the failures that you've had. And, you know, I went, and this is pretty much a clip where I didn't edit it a whole lot, but really sometimes the content really should speak more than the editing, right? And so this was me talking about my failure as teaching, like thinking about my class at the beginning of the pandemic. What I wanted was, you know, this first person view. And this was my first iteration going, oh, this would be interesting. And then it just completely failed. Like this is the major take home for today, is that most of the stuff that you're going to start with is just going to fail. Like, just be okay with it. But what that turned into though is, right, you've got this weird rhino cam, right? And the thing is, I got some pretty good laughs from my faculty when I showed them this. But it, you know, this being okay with your failures and showing those, and being okay with it not being an absolutely perfect clip, but it just shows some part of your personality. But the other thing is that those ideas do end up turning into, I think, this video game idea, which is first person. but then also turned into an exercise that I have my students do, which is sample a soybean field virtually. So I actually sampled 21 points in a soybean field, where I then showed them the what I found in my sweep net, and they had to count that and then put that into a sampling exercise for class. And so, you know, that's what I said earlier, is that, you know, you go from research where, yeah, I'm actually collecting that data for a project, to extension, to just, this is how you use a sweep net, to teaching, which is, hey, here's both of those things. You know, it's really hard to sometimes really like differentiate those three, and in my case, three things. If your position is two, if you're researching extension, if you're mostly extension, then that's maybe easier to know what you do. But at the end of the day, we're all kind of doing this research. We're all kind of educating. We're all extending in some shape or form. And to me, I was trying to find ways in which I could like use my time most efficiently. So that's why, to me, having this on a handheld, I was skeptical about it at first. But to me, I think when you do end up paying for apps, they tend to give you a lot more features that do cut on your editing time. So as you're getting started, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on it. You know, the scrubber at the bottom, like being able to scrub through, this is going to be pretty similar across most apps. Being able to add, they call a mixer and say, hey, I want to add now a picture of, you know, Coyle's talk. Just that was the first one that came up. You see, like, this is now just sitting there in the middle, but I might want to pinch it and move it off to the corner, or I might actually want this to be, you know, a hole. I might want to transform that and make that fit my screen. And, you know, that's why I can't spend this, you know, the time that I have going through each of these little features. What I want you to walk away with is you have to start if you haven't already. And then part of that is, you know, really starting to challenge your kind of creative side to say, how can I show that perspective? How can I show that in a different way? You know, and then how you capture that content really does tell most of that story. So the editing just kind of cleans it up. You know, there was a lot more to this particular clip. So if I just extend that back out, because I didn't want to delete all that, it's going to show me coming up and adjusting my camera that shows my hand, which isn't really that interesting. It shows me walking in the field and then me realizing, oh yeah, I want to start back here and do my, it's going to show me my, you know, weird little stance. Because in my mind, I'm going, hey, I'm my sampler. Now I'm going to kind of, my avatar is moving a little bit. And if I shrink that down and speed it up, it's really going to look like an avatar. That's just my brain. That's just my brain going, oh, this is how I'm going to think about my scene. I'm setting that up. I want to capture as many different things as I can because I'm there. I can't go back. Unfortunately, I can't go back to this field. I'm now stuck with the content that I have. So this is what I want to urge you to do, is get as much content from as many different angles as you can. And yes, you're going to end up looking like, you know, me with a Rhino cam, maybe the first time, is that you're trying to like change perspective and get close to the ground and maybe get above and then maybe come at it from a couple different places. And you do look like an influencer in the wild doing a lot of these things. I mean, that's the reality, is that, you know, even if you don't want to be an influencer as an extension specialist, you are an influencer. You know, how public do you want to make that be, where you're actually capturing footage? To me, I finally just got over it. I finally just said, don't take yourself that seriously. Your bigger desire is to really get your content out there and have people engage in it. And so that became the bigger driver than what I looked like, capturing some of these things. So again, jumping off the back of the truck, I mean, the grower, yes, he was like, what are you doing? And even though I did warn him, but here's the thing though, and I didn't think about this, is that I talked to him here like last week. It had been about a month since I talked to him last week, and you know, asked him how harvest went, because we had to plot here and he's going to give me yield day and all that stuff. And he goes, how's that IPM video game series coming along? And I went, I just didn't think he was, you know, he was thinking, he goes like, what's the next thing you're going to do? I mean, it's just, it's stuff like that that makes me, I mean, you know, you just kind of go, that's the thing. That's the thing that you're thinking about. But it is. I mean, it's that, because that's the engagement piece. That's the connection. That's the piece that, you know, really, really does kind of get you to be more personable with people. Like they feel like they know you a little bit better. And it doesn't need to be like an hour of you confessing everything that you know. It's these little snippets of, oh, that's your creative side. Okay, cool. And then I have to be okay with not everybody liking that.
Brian, we had another question.
Yes.
She said you showed us a support to actually handle your phone. Yep. Can you give some advice on maybe different types of supports that you use, especially like for your video game?
Yeah. So all that stuff that I shot with the video game was this, I thought I had that in my Manfrotto, and it's, I'll see if I can find it here online too. And then there's the same company sells a clip. And the nice thing is that really this disconnects really quick. And so instead of trying to struggle to get your phone off the clip, this comes off. And it's, this is super light too. And the other thing is that, you know, this condenses down to, I find, you know, you can even, because I teach remotely, or I teach in person, but a lot of these two, you can, you know, I'd say the lighter, the more compact, especially for phones, the better. But that's, I can fit it all into the screen. Hey, cool. So that's really all of it. I can throw that into my backpack if I'm going to go teach. This is sitting in my truck. So that's this, again, in the habit where I'm going to go somewhere, anywhere, honestly, anywhere. Entomology happens everywhere. I don't know if you all knew that, but entomology bugs happen everywhere. So I try to have actually a backup if I'm not thinking about it. Have I used a gimbal to hold your phone that tracks you as you move? Yes, I do have a gimbal here. So most of these things are costing money, but I'd say the best investment you can make is a tripod, small tripod that is kind of versatile like that with a phone clip, phone holder. Like those two things plus your device, making sure that it actually fits your device. That's a big thing. Make sure that your device actually fits in that holder is great. But I think what the question was, do I use one of these? And when I remember, right? When I remember, I do. Because otherwise it's very Blair Witch, you know. But actually, if you start, here's the other thing too. If you start watching more, like more closely, like how did they cut away? What angles are they using? Like you really start dissecting videos that you like is probably one of the best places to start, in my opinion. Like if you find like, oh, that was really interesting, then watch it from a different lens, not the content, but actually the process by which they put together. How did they tell the story? Which cutaways did they use? And what you're going to see is that even some of the you know more popular shows, like I just started watching Schitt's Creek here probably about a month ago, and like the first episode or two, I'm like, oh my gosh, that camera is moving all over the place. Like now, if you go back and watch it, you'll start to see that it's not a still camera. There's some type of little movement to it constantly. And you start looking at some of the you know major cinema. It's early. I'm sorry, cinema. Like there's this, like even that holding. So even to be so conscious about, I gotta have it just perfect. I've actually spent less time like worrying about the gimbal. To me, the gimbal is like to get those kind of cool shots that are more smooth, that feel more like a drone that I don't have the budget for. But you know, maybe $100 if I'm gonna use that a lot. I don't use that nearly as much as I'd like. And really what I use almost constantly is my tripod and my clip, simply because I can't hold this out and then get good picture of me walking up the stairs, you know. But if I also put it down really low to the ground, or I just set my phone against something, oh, my other tripod, there is another tripod, and I don't think I have that here. Where did I put that? I'll think about it. No time to my mind. But that one I use quite a bit, and it is about that high off the ground. If you're really interested in that, just find me, message me, and I can get you the information on it. But anything that gets really low to the ground for that perspective, I use quite a bit. But I also use it for teaching, so it gets me about that far away from the subject, which is really great for doing, you know, in class, maybe dissections or IDs or whatever. But that one, this does get low to the ground, but you also might just need to figure out how to get it close enough to a table. But that other one I use quite a bit, but that is really more for like the macro side. And I don't focus a lot on the macro side for this. But those two pieces I'd say are the biggest ones that I use. Again, I'm just kind of getting started on a lot of this, but the pandemic has forced that. The stuff that I've been kind of playing with for maybe like 11 years. Not kidding. I went back to my first YouTube video that I posted was putting up a heart stack trap. So monitoring cornea worm. Like, that took me hours. I mean, like took way more time because the tech was not friendly. I mean, I had to use a camcorder and then get that exported. And then the editing software was really, I mean, super clumsy. And I feel like, you know, on average for class, I'm producing maybe 3 or 4 videos a week. And some of those are, you know, just straightforward, like me sitting there talking and, you know, maybe putting me in the bottom right-hand corner. So like if I'm sitting, and then my content is up here. So I might be sitting down here and giving a PowerPoint presentation. Again, this is the software I'll be talking about on Friday. But then recording this, and then again, inserting some other content that I took from out in the field, and then being able to use. So I'll record it in OBS, but I'll still edit it on my phone, simply because my phone is with me wherever I go. And so if I've got time where I feel like, oh, downtime, I could start editing this. And I feel like it's, for me, it's easier to kind of do most of that, more easier than I thought it would to be on my phone. But to me, it's a preference.
Brian, I have a question. Oftentimes you use like fun audio in addition to what, you know, your voice, like music or other types of fun sounds. Where do you go to get accessible audio?
All on the device.
Oh, okay.
So that's what you're also paying for in those subscriptions.
Okay.
So I use Storyblock for a lot of things too. I use that off of my LumaFusion. Storyblock gives you access to a lot of those things. Try to support open stuff as much as I possibly can. Honestly, it was about ease of use. So I'm trying to balance those two, and I don't say I do that, you know, well, but I also use sources that I can. And so this is one where, you know, if I wanted to add some music, I add audio, I find music and finding stuff that I want, and then add it. And then what I'll do is kind of scrub that to make sure that, oh, this is a point where I'm going to start talking. So maybe I'll split it. And then this audio I'll do down to 4. So that way when I'm playing this, allows you to mix that up a little bit, play with that. Is this too loud? And then have somebody else listen to it because you've been listening to it for too long. My wife, bless her heart, she hears to hear a lot of these things. Be like, is that funny? Is that just me? Is that like even remotely interesting? But the audio, like that's, and you can do voiceover too. So if you're like, oh, I messed up and I want to do some, I can do a voiceover. So it's a matter of, hey, it gives me a little bit. Check, test, 1, 2, 3. Stop there. Now I've got voiceover. So again, really, if you're feeling like, oh, now I have to do all that voice on the field. For some things you might, but you're like, I don't really know what I want to say, but I'm going to do an intro. And so I have an intro where, for example, I do a weekly rundown for my students. I kind of have an intro, outro that's already ready to go. Okay, I wanted to give everybody a quick
rundown of the consultant sessions tomorrow.
If you're an Office fan, this might be funny to you.
What do you need that rundown by?
Right, so you just kind of create these little videos that you reuse to kind of create some themes.
To the rundown, I'll be exhausted.
And so there's also a lot of software out there or platforms that will create these intros and outros for you. So I have an intro for my entomology class that I spent $8 on, and had, to me looks pretty professional. I don't know if I have that accessible here. Here's an intro that I purchased. It's a 5 second or 10 second clip. It's hard to, it's not playing very well on this platform, but it kind of goes through and has this digital eye, and you can customize it. All I did is I paid one time $8 to have this intro video now that I use for all of my teaching stuff. So some of these things you try to hack the best you can, and other times you just explore the content. So that was a really quick overview on some phone editing. There's some apps available, ways to think about it. The biggest thing is just get started. And hey, if you want a t-shirt, right, here's a way to do that. So find a creative way to show us your venue. Again, everybody's venue is going to be different this year. And I think it'd be fun to showcase that in some creative way. So throw some music, maybe some voiceover, grab somebody to help you do that, tag team, just explore. So this has been your time where you're like, yeah, I've always been thinking about it, but I'm just going to get an app and just going to start digging some of these things up. I will be around. So if you have questions, email me, get a hold of me. This will be available later. If you're like, gosh, that went by really fast. When we make this accessible online. So again, if you're wanting that link, then just reach out to Aaron or myself and we can share those later. That is all I have given the time we're at. Again, check out the schedule. We've got another one this afternoon. What time is that, Aaron? At 2 o'clock?
It'd be 2 Eastern. Yes.
Eastern? No, 2 Central. I'll
I guess it's later. 2. So it'd be 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, don't freak me out here, Aaron.
Sorry. So I'm working with our nerds are in 4 different time zones. So I'm just making sure.
I had to go tarp my lab this morning. So I just got back 10 minutes into this to watch. And I'm actually really excited because now I have things for our extension people. I want this program. I want to do this.
Yeah.
Looks like fun.
Awesome. No, it is, and that's the thing. It is fun. If it becomes longer fun, then you just find a different way. Find you're either expecting too much or just find let it be creative. That's all.
Yeah, I'm gonna email you for some more information because I want to try to see if I can get us to do this.
Awesome. Hey, Dr. Kring, is that?
Oh my.
Hey, look at. Yeah, this is the part I'm gonna definitely miss about the meeting.
Nice job, Ryan.
Well, thanks. No, it's
all the presentations. Really good program.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of this lineup and the rest of the program. It's the on demand stuff. It's we had our extension one here a couple weeks ago, and I was on the planning committee. I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna go, but at the end of it, I went, you know what? That was almost better than what we've done in the past because it really did allow for some like selection of different things and interactions with other states. And I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll go great. Awesome. Well, that's all I had. Encourage you to check out the rest of the talks and stay engaged and create. Yep. Thanks, everybody.